1-800-981-8181 or go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us, where you'll find what you'll need to keep you and your loved ones secure. And remember, those without food will be servants of those with the food. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen. We're talking about this recent legislation that's been enacted that now is, of course, going to give the telephone companies immunity for having violated the law, and not only immunity, but retroactive immunity, which, of course, is totally unconstitutional. They violated the law. If you and I violated the law and then they changed it, we would still be considered lawbreakers. But, of course, they're giving them immunity, and this has nothing to do with terrorism. They're selling it to the American people on the basis, oh, we've got to protect ourselves from the wicked al-Qaeda terrorists. But, you know, people only need to just look around and stop and think. We've certainly been almost 7 years since the September 11th attack of 2001, and not one other major terrorist attack in America. Is it possible that we have not been told the truth about what happened on September 11th? Is it possible this is a false flag operation? Well, anybody who has any questions, I suggest you go to our website, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Go to the section on other videos and just simply scroll down to building number 7 and see building 7 come down. And when you see that come down, you realize this was a controlled demolition. And if it was, then, of course, somebody other than the terrorists is responsible for the death of all those American citizens, almost 3,000, on September 11th. So you pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, you know, it's interesting that every one of the Republican lapdogs for the president that are apologizing and for this piece of legislation use 9/11 to justify it. Senator Hatch is typical. With the tiniest of inducements, he can be energized to leap to the pulpit and excuse, defend, and rationalize every one of the evil acts of the Bush administration in the mistaken belief that he's upholding some patriotic or conservative value. He has this eagerness to believe that everything's justified by 9/11. He said as much. He said that these telecommunications men were courageous for helping the president spy on our enemies and should be given a medal, not subjected to the courts. Now, this is a trained attorney. I mean, it doesn't matter what he thinks about whether or not somebody is courageous or not, which it isn't. It was cowardliness. But nevertheless, he knows the law. You cannot sit there and break the law. He proclaims to be a great constitutional lawyer and protector, and yet to say that someone can impunity, even on good motives, spy on somebody is just ludicrous. Well, you know, nothing's more symptomatic of this arrogance of power than the high-handed manner in which Attorney General Michael Mukasey confronts those who dare challenge his prerogatives. No other government gatekeeper, it seems, of the secret acts of government can quite compare to the audacity in which Mukasey deflects and puts off his congressional critics. You know, there's a whole host of issues confronting the Justice Department that remain unanswered. Overall politicization of the selection process, the Office of Legal Counsel memos, those are the torture memos, hiring and firing practices, and selective first prosecution by letting, you know, friends of the government go. But when it comes to hard answers to congressional oversight, Attorney General Mukasey, who's a former federal judge, dances around the questions, deflecting criticism that stems from the Gonzales era. Here's some examples, courtesy of TPMMuckraker.com. One, when Patrick Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, requested a listing of the Office of Legal Counsel memos on torture, that the DOJ chose not to review, Mukasey stated he didn't know that it would serve anybody's interest to do so and thus refused. I mean, can you imagine that kind of arrogance? This wouldn't serve anybody. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. Congress is asking to see the memos that you refused to review. And he refused. When Arlen Specter questioned him about why Judith Miller was left in jail for refusing to reveal her sources in the Valerie Plame affair, he demurred, stating that it fell in the responsibility of the special counsel, not himself. Well, he's over the special counsel. you know, this is a lame excuse to say this isn't my responsibility to know that. Three, when Dianne Feinstein wanted to know if anyone was planning on reviewing the Guantanamo detainees' files to see why they were being held, that's a habeas corpus issue, Casey deferred, noting that the cases were before the district court and thus out of his jurisdiction. They're not out of his jurisdiction at all. His people are filing motions relative to this in the district court. But, you know, the fact, Dr. Stan, that these people don't follow up and grill him in the same way that I'm answering the answer, you know, shows that this is just token opposition.
I agree with you totally. Go ahead.
When Senator Russ Feingold demanded an accountability for the loss of valuable civil servants and the politicization of the Department of Justice Honors Program, the Attorney General stated that it had already been covered by the OIG, which is the Office of Inspector General. But that report was a whitewash, you know. That's an in-house inspector to the Department of Justice. You can't just divert the statements, you know, and say, go read our report. The report was a whitewash. He's asking him to defend that report, and he refused to do so. And then it was Senator Joe Biden's turn to ask questions. He merely took a straightforward approach, tearing into McCasey as, quote, an enigma, acting like you float above us in the ether somewhere. Indeed, that is what McCasey acts like, that he's above the law, and as a certified insider in the service to the real powers that be, he's untouchable, and he knows it. Well, that wouldn't be true, you know, if the Senate was really going to use their powers and threaten impeachment of the president and all the other, appointments that come up from the DOJ before the Senate. They could really play hardball if they wanted to, and they choose not to.
Well, I think this is really the significance of the 17th Amendment. If those senators were answerable to the legislators in their states, as was originally prescribed in the Constitution, they would then, of course, represent the states and the people. And now, of course, when they're directly elected, they're answerable to the people who finance them, so they can get elected, not to the people at home. And so, you know, the thing is that what we've done is to gradually undermine the very fabric of our society, and the 17th Amendment, which led to the direct election of senators, was part of that movement to convert us from a republic to a democracy, ultimately into a dictatorship, and we're well along the way.
All too true. I spoke about the fact that Barack Obama voted for the final version of the bill despite promising to oppose any bill that included amnesty. He was able to say, you know, there's sleight of hand in this bill, Dr. Stan. The Senate technically isn't granting amnesty to allow people like Barack Obama to switch their vote to the affirmative. But in fact, it's just a token lack of amnesty. They simply put it to the district courts to determine. They basically say your only determination will be to determine if these telecommunication companies received a letter from the president assuring them that this was legal. And if they did so, you have to dismiss the suits. You know, it's a given. We already know they've already got the letters. There isn't anything that needs the district court. The only reason that they did that was to make sure that people like Barack Obama could say this bill does not grant amnesty. But it does. This is the kind of sleight of hand that is really evil. Now, Hillary Clinton voted against it, but that's only because she's still positioning herself for a future run for the presidency and must play the opposing role. Were she the nominee, I can guarantee you that she would have voted for it, too. Senator Arlen Specter, who's worked for the conspirators, goes way back to his role as legal counsel for the Warren Commission, played his usual game of opposing the measure right up to the end, speaking against it, and that he always switches his vote and votes for it every time. He is the phony opposition in these Senate committees, and he has everybody thinking that he's a conservative. He's no such thing. Well, I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of disappointed Democrats who harbor the illusion that Obama really is going to change things. He won't, and within the anti-war movement, dissatisfaction with Obama is already growing very fast. His supporters mounted an intense lobbying campaign on Obama's own website to get him to stick to his promise on telecom immunity, all in vain. Just like his promise to get U.S. troops out of Iraq in a year and a half, it won't happen. especially with Obama, joining the mindless crescendo of politicians calling for military threats to Iran. I saw him on the Jim Lehrer NewsHour, you know, speaking in the most vociferous terms about Iran must be stopped. We cannot allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. And, of course, Iran isn't helping anything by rattling its own sabers, launching over a dozen test missiles in 2 days as a show of potential force to the ever-threatening Americans and Israelis. Now, one wonders what suicidal vision these leaders have that provokes them to play into the globalist hand, making themselves look radical and helping the neocons justify the very attack that people want to avoid.
Well, unless, of course, they are just playing their parts, like the people in our government are playing their parts. And, of course, all of this is aimed at bringing about a war between America and Iran with the disastrous consequences that are going to follow. There's an article recently in something called the Iran Monitor, and it's, I think, the Foreign Policy Association, talking about how the Iranian government is digging or has dug 340,000 graves, telling the Iranian people, well, those are for the enemy soldiers who may invade us. Why would you dig all those graves? Is that really true? The only place I've ever seen is the Iran Monitor, but they're usually fairly accurate in what they're saying. It sends a little shiver down your spine to think that maybe this is all planned ahead of time, and those are not going to be for soldiers. Those are going to be for the Iranian citizens, helpless people who will be victims of the coming war that is being planned, I think, both by the leaders of Iran and by our own leaders.
Well, there may well be planning, but I don't think it's a uniform plan that controls both sides of this. I think, in fact, you have people with common goals on two different sides who both want war, but for different reasons. The Anglo-American establishment wants an Iran war to further antagonize the world against America and to make America the bully of the world. Why would they want to make America the bully of the world? Because they're trying to hand Russia and China an excuse to attack, and through that attack, they will justify a new world order someday.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen and World Affairs Brief.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps, and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, Bonnie, no more pickpocketing for us. I have an easier way we can steal people's credit cards without them even knowing they've been robbed.
How so, Clyde?
I have this RFID reader I picked up on the internet. Just by waving it near you, I can skim your credit card information while your cards are still in your purse. Just watch.
Hey, look, that's my info on the screen. You gotta be kidding me.
Nope. With 50 million credit cards with hidden RFID chips, I figure we'll make a fortune, as long as people don't hear about Identity Stronghold.
Why? What's Identity Stronghold?
They make the secure sleeve. When people keep their credit cards in the shielded secure sleeve, I can't read them.
Do a lot of people already know about the secure sleeve?
No way. Most people don't realize they even have chips in their credit cards and passports.
Clyde, we should get some of those secure sleeves.
I already got some. I also got some to fit our passports. Identity Stronghold has secure sleeves for sale right on the internet at IDStronghold.com.
IDStronghold.com?
Right. Or you can call them at 1-800-610-2770.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Joel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about the suspicious way in Iran keeps provoking, it seems, or making their situation worse. I really suspect that Russia is partly to blame, whispering in Iran's ear that it won't allow the U.S. to attack, which tends to embolden these radical people. This is just like what Russia promised Saddam Hussein, and then they betrayed Saddam and let the U.S. attack, and even feigned being an ally of the U.S. war effort against the original, that is, the Gulf War, even while Russia was sending in shipments of air support, military support to Saddam Hussein. They, of course, did not confront the U.S. or attempt to do so. In other words, you know, Obama is destined, I believe, to be a president full of regrets. He's quick on the tongue and a little too candid to not make statements that are unwise or run afoul of what his CFR handlers want him to say. Luke Boggs of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution took note of this growing list of regrets, and what prompted this was that he put his daughters on television with he and his wife on an interview with the TV tabloid program Access Hollywood. And then he said the next day that he regretted doing so, after he got criticism about exploiting his daughters for political purposes. Mr. Boggs says that in turn made me wonder how often the senator has regretted other choices. Here's the answer: pretty often. Googling Obama and regrets together yields more than a million hits on the web. Now, of course, those are often redundant. But in November of 2006, he says that Obama often said he regretted buying property adjacent to his Chicago home from Tony Rezko, a longtime supporter and big-time fundraiser. Now, Tony Rezko also happens to be a convicted felon for wire and mail fraud, aiding and abetting bribery, money laundering. You know, this is very typical, where many instances the dark side of government uses evil and criminal elements to do deals with up-and-coming politicians to provide them instant wealth. That happened to Hillary Clinton. It happens to John McCain. It has also happened to Barack Obama. In February 2007, as his presidential campaign was just beginning, Obama said he regretted saying that the lives of American soldiers who died in Iraq had been wasted. Then in April of 2008, Obama said he regretted his choice of words when he told some well-heeled donors in San Francisco that the, quote, bitter folks of middle America who've lost economic hope cling to their guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them. I mean, this was a very hotly debated comedy made. Indeed, some Americans are very angry with arrogant politicians like Obama, who constantly lie to them and make false promises of change. Mr. Boggs comments and says, to be sure these choices are worth regretting, anyone who understood why Obama would regret his land deal with a convicted felon, and even liberal Democrats like Obama have been careful not to say American lives have been wasted in Iraq. Obama's most costly regret, however, may well prove to be his condescending shot at those decent, hardworking Americans who he said were desperately clinging to God, guns, and bigotry. It was a regret-worthy statement that said volumes about Obama's easy contempt for those that elites often call from flyover country, meaning it doesn't matter what happens in America, you just fly over only the big cities. Then he concludes and says, perhaps Americans, however, are looking for a regretful guy this time around. After 8 years of George W. Bush, whose dogged lack of regrets, absolute arrogance, and stubbornness continues to exasperate his critics, perhaps this sort of intense self-scrutiny and navel-gazing will translate into electoral victory. And it may well do that. The only thing I can say for certainty, Dr. Stan, is that America will regret electing either John McCain or Barack Obama.
Agreed.
Well, the big topic of this of tomorrow's brief is going to be the question, is something big coming? The August Review asked if there is an imminent financial crisis coming. Actually, of course, the financial crisis is already with us. Only part of the crisis, however, is visible, as tricky accounting rules allow government, corporations, and investment companies to hide the true state of their financial affairs. Only when they get very, very bad does it come out. Now, I have held to the line that government will do everything in its power to keep a collapse from coming, because extreme financial contractions tend to make the people angry and anti-government. I still believe the powers that be want Americans fat, dumb, and happy right up to the time the big war hits that's coming in the next decade.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Certainly, there's a great deal of information out there suggesting that there are going to be some serious economic problems. We'll just wait and see what happens. We'll be right back with Joel.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Non-X Man. He's in a dive. He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach. Let's go look.
I'm Non-X Man, and your toenails need Non-X nail gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Non-X nail gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Non-X Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Non-X Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Non-X nail gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Longs, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Philo, and Rite Aid.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
The world economic collapse could come any day.
question. Are you prepared, or are you ignoring the signs? Question. Do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners where they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, or at least get a copy and decide if they'd like to take it on a regular basis.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service that's showcased on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And people can get a free sample copy of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And I'll be happy to send one out. If they forget how to do that, they can go to the website, and just under the summary of the current edition of the World Affairs Brief, there is a note telling you how to get a free sample issue. Other things on the website are free. Scrolling down, you find all of the top news stories each day to review. These are pre-screened by my researcher, who knows basically how to post the ones that have the least disinformation in them, and that's important for you. And on the right-hand side, I concentrate on a great deal of government cover-ups. They're happening all the time, and this is the best evidence that there is a concerted effort on the part of government to lie and deceive the American people into their real agenda. I would like to have people also focus on a major piece that I've got at the top of the right-hand column, a piece called Strategic Threats of the Coming Decade. That's where I lay out my general theory about where I think the Anglo-American establishment is taking us through all this intervention. It's not just about oil. It's mostly about fomenting a globalist new world order through war and conflict. That's the real reason for intervening in the Middle East, not to defend American liberties, but to antagonize the world.
Okay, well, I certainly encourage people to get the World Affairs Brief. It's always a very insightful and informative commentary. So let's go on, Joel. What's the next item?
Well, we're talking about the economy, and as I was saying, I believe that the powers that be want Americans fat, dumb, and happy right up to the big war so that they don't throw all the rascals out. I'm not sure, however, now that they can pull it off. I am sure that whatever they do will result in huge amounts of inflation. That deadly hidden tax that is now taking more than 10% additional income out of everyone's pockets every year. To forestall the inevitable, the government is still flooding the world with new money in all its various iterations, credits, swaps, buyouts, guarantees, dozens more shady ways to inflate currency. But the big boys in Europe see something that the American public is oblivious to. According to the August review, Europe, it says, is running scared of an impending financial disaster. Barclays Capital, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and Fortis are pulling away from the U.S. financial markets, withdrawing all their funds out of New York banks. That means they do suspect that something big is coming. These amounts amount to a mini run on the banks involved, similar to what happened to Bear Stearns in March. And the run may be expanding. These major financial institutions in Europe are predicting imminent major economic and market meltdowns. Fortis expects a complete collapse of U.S. financial markets within a few days to weeks. That explains, according to Fortis, the series of interventions of last Thursday to retrieve 8 billion euros. We have just been saved in time. That's how much they pulled out of New York banks. The situation in the U.S. is much worse than we thought, said Chairman Maurice Lippens. Fortis expects bankruptcies among 6,000 American banks, which have a small coverage currently. but also Citigroup, General Motors. He says there's startling evidence of a complete meltdown in the U.S. At the same time, the Bank of Scotland, now, by the way, 6,000 banks could not fold without the U.S. intervening in some way, and I'll talk about this bailout fever that is coming. The Royal Bank of Scotland headline warnings of a global crash. It said Royal Bank has advised clients to brace for a full-fledged crash in global stock and credit markets over the next 3 months as inflation paralyzes the major central banks. And I think this is what is true. We have only observed, Dr. Stan, third world countries dealing with hyperinflation. Well, with the exception of Germany, definitely not a third world country, but the globalist advisors just went into the Weimar Republic and encouraged them to print money to overcome the war reparations that were put upon them by the Versailles Treaty, did so to destroy German economics and create the an atmosphere for socialism to rise, which brought Hitler to rise. But inflation is now really starting to paralyze all the economies because simply it's like a huge tax increase and people can't afford to buy anything. And the Fed is in panic mode. The massive incredibility chasms down which the Fed and maybe even the European Central Bank will plummet when they fail to hike rates in the face of higher inflation will combine to give us the biggest sell-off in risky assets, the bank said. Lastly, Barclays Capital warned clients to batten down the hatches for a worldwide financial storm. Henry Paulson's European speech was covered live on C-SPAN, and he gave considerable time to what would happen if a number of U.S. banks were to fail, including even major U.S. banks. He didn't mention any banks, but the fact that he brought up the subject means that he knows that Europeans are very concerned about it. Now, all U.S. automakers are in big trouble, burning cash reserves to the tune of $1 billion a month, Dr. Stan. And these reserves will dry up within 3 to 9 months, depending on the company, as they desperately try to retool for fuel-efficient vehicles and dismantle the huge investment they have in factories and inventory of SUVs and overstocked pickups, which are not selling.
But, of course, the automotive companies have a problem in the fact they have, you know, contracts with the union that, you know, if they close down the production line, the people, the employees still get paid. And this is, of course, the reason they're trying to get rid of all those employees, buy them out, that they have these contracts with that are totally unsustainable. You cannot, you know, close down your production lines to try to save money and still have to pay the employees. And they're in a lose-lose situation, and the only way out is out of the United States.
Well, or to start new factories that are non-union employed, and that's what Volkswagen and Toyota are doing in the United States. Consider this little gem. As of last Friday, the market capitalization of General Motors was just over $5 billion. That's all. Listen to that, Dr. Stan. They're spending $1 billion to stay afloat, and they're only worth $5 billion.
I know. And, of course, the last thing I heard, it was $6 billion. So in the last month, they've lost $1 billion of their capital.
And but here's why GM capitalization is so low. It's because they're so indebted. They have mortgaged every single asset the GM owns multiple times as collateral for loans that it cannot repay, while it's losing $41 billion a year. And that doesn't even take into consideration its huge pension fund obligations. I don't think it's going to survive and without a bailout. Now, for example, in terms of its cash flow, GM slipped beneath $20 billion in remaining cash assets, but is burning $17 billion per year. That's over $1 billion a month. In other words, GM probably has just 9 to 15 months of life left at the most. No one will be able to stop it, and GM will be history. Now, that's according to a writer on Jim Rawls' survival blog. The lenders will still get only pennies on the dollar for each dollar they loan. Ford and Chrysler are in similar situations. If the economic system implodes, the big three will cease to exist. Now, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two government-sponsored mortgage brokerage houses, are also in big trouble. William Poole, the St. Louis Federal Reserve president, said the biggest provider of financing for U.S. home loans won't have enough capital to weather the worst housing slump since the Great Depression. The company's credit default swaps, show, and that's a form of insurance that they have in case of default, are treating AA triple debt as if they were five steps lower. Fannie Mae shares tumbled 13% yesterday, and Freddie Mac 14%. Chances are increasing that U.S. may need to bail out Fannie Mae and smaller Freddie Mac. Now, I think Poole is right. There's no single big collapse coming, but just a continuing series of collapses as the speculative house of cards collapses and speculators themselves run out of places to invest their massive gambling portfolios, which dwarfs the actual productive economy. The only card the Fed has is to bail out the biggest players, running on the excuse that the big boys have to be saved to keep the economy from collapsing. And then that's their answer every time Congress challenges them about bailing out the big boys, and yet the little guys were suffering. And it's true, but they always use the excuse, we have to bail the big boys out to keep the economy from collapsing. In fact, I don't think the economy would collapse even if the big boys folded, because they are very much divorced from the real investment in productive enterprises. They're simply speculating, and that speculative economy, I estimate, is at probably 1.3 times the real economy. What it means is people are simply churning money in gambling aspects, and they're not investing in legitimate products or companies. Now, I don't think the GM, Ford, and Chrysler will be allowed to fail, maybe one of them. Neither will they allow Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The mortgage markets simply don't function without some government-funded agency to buy up and repackage the loans being written by the smaller banks and brokers. You see, if they don't repackage those loans and sell them on upline, then it goes back to the days when you and I were starting out in life. We'd go to a bank and they'd say, well, we don't have any available funds to loan right now, until somebody else makes more deposits or finishes off a loan. But nowadays, they can simply bundle up and package them on upline, and the Fed replaces that money, and they can reloan out new money. That is, or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, who buys them up at a certain percentage point and gives them money to keep loaning. That's what keeps the balloon going. Now, how will these bailouts be financed? Increasingly, the bond market is failing to respond to using increasing debt to solve the debt bubble. As Martin Brown of Bloomberg Financial notes, bonds sold by U.S. municipal borrowers with rates set through periodic auctions failed to attract enough buyers, as banks, including Goldman Sachs and Citigroup, that run the bidding, won't commit their own capital to the debt. And so investors aren't going along with it either. What began 3 weeks ago with too few bidders and auction rate debt-backed but small entities, such as Georgetown University and Nevada Power, the auction failures provided new indications of Wall Street's unwillingness to commit capital amid $133 billion losses in credit and asset write-downs. He says it's the beginning of the end for the auction rate market. And, boy, that is something. Banks have stopped supporting the market, Dr. Stan.
Well, of course, I think what's going to happen is the Fed's going to do everything they can to keep it going, and they're just going to turn out more and more money and credit, predominantly credit, and that's highly inflationary. And then I think we're going to see inflation right along with a slowing down of the economy, the so-called stagflation. In other words, the economy falling and the inflation increasing, which, of course, ordinarily the economy grows when you have inflation, and here you're having just the opposite reaction. And there's just no way economically out of this. There's no way they can pull a rabbit out of the hat. I think this whole thing has to collapse. Robert Rubin is talking that. George Soros is talking about it. Warren Buffett is talking about it. People a lot smarter than I am are saying that there's really no way out of the trap we've built for ourselves.
Well, and I'm slowly coming to that position, too. And it's because the only tool they have left is inflation, and everything is inflating. Dow Chemical is increasing prices an average of 25%. That's a huge increase for manufacturers. Iron ore prices have jumped 85%, as you've pointed out many times. It's no wonder the producer price crude goods index increased 6.7% after climbing 3.2% in April alone. Retail inflation will be a few multiples higher than these wholesale prices as everyone is scrambling to cover their increased fuel costs. But you know, when inflation starts to run, everybody starts tacking on extra price increases just because they can. That's because people lose the ability to discern what's a normal price anymore. everyone isn't shocked. I mean, they're stunned, but they're not shocked that prices are increasing. They expect it now. It's an inflationary mentality. Now, besides, sales are dropping as people have less money to spend. So merchants can no longer depend on high volume to produce profits at small volumes. At small margins. They now need larger profit margins with each new sale because they're not getting the volume. That's what the big airlines are trying to do by shutting down capacity, forcing people to pay higher prices for fewer available seats. I'm predicting that it won't work, especially since Southwest Airlines doesn't have to raise prices and will start growing capacity as the big airlines keep downsizing. Eventually, however, as sales continue to shrink, the large overheads of big corporations puts them into red ink and they fail. In other words, you can only continue to raise prices and shrink sales until your overhead is simply eating up all of your remaining profits, and technically then you're bankrupt. Even lower interest rates can't save companies who can't pay any interest at all. Bridge loans don't work when the time frame for recovery is too far out there, and this collapsing bubble looks like it will take several years to unravel. The shrinking buying power of the consumer is making it difficult for mall-based businesses to survive. According to economic research firms, vacancies at U.S. neighborhood and community shopping centers rose in the second quarter to a 13-year high. Vacancies at larger regional malls were at the highest level since 2002. Now, even Internet commerce is seeing significant declines, Dr. Stan. There's an annual conference sponsored by Allen & Company in Sun Valley, Idaho this year. You know, Bill Gates was there and all the big boys in the online environment. They were grappling with the Internet's increasing fragmentation. Everybody's looking for more advertising revenue, and they're only recouping a small fraction of what, or the media company at least, are recouping only a small fraction of what they lose in print revenues. You know, as what happens, all the newspapers, in order to compete, have to have an online presence. More and more people are not subscribing and buying their newspapers, just reading the news on the Internet anymore, in which they don't get hardly any revenue from it except for a little bit of advertising. And, of course, what is the Internet going to do when the free sources of news, which have been subsidized by the print establishment, don't supply news anymore? It's kind of a catch-22 situation. Well, Ron Paul is predicting something big is about to happen, and he is hoping in his campaign for liberty that the crisis that will be created with this economy will give us the opportunity to reverse the tide and resume the truly great American Revolution that was starting in 1776. He says, opportunity knocks in spite of the urgency and dangers that we face. Well, I wish that this were true, but history shows clearly that without moral character and enlightenment, most people succumb to false government promises of reform rather than real reform, which is always painful.
Well, Joel, when this whole thing falls apart, we're going to come out on the far end either as free men or as slaves in a socialist dictatorship. Those are the two alternatives. We're out of time. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Thanks so much.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? Tebow Tech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, Tebow Tech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The Tebow Tech Essentials Package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of Tebow Tech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoy Joel's commentary. I know I always do. He always has a very insightful views. And certainly, we think very much alike, except I think, of course, we're moving into a terrible financial crisis right now, and I don't think there's any way they can avoid it. And I think that people have to begin to prepare for what lies ahead. Now, if you'd like information, and I'm not a financial advisor, but we put together a talk several years ago called The Financial Tsunami, which lays out all of the various issues that are coming into focus today. It comes with a syllabus. It's called The Financial Tsunami. It's a talk, a DVD or video, and then, of course, the syllabus will give you information, and, of course, I stress what you really need to do, what you should have done a couple of years ago, but you can certainly do it now as well. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which we recommend highly, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. We also carry his books, Gold for Survival and Gold for Investment. And lastly, we have a book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. It's a little book, easy to read, but it tells what happened in France back in 1789 to about 1798, when, of course, they had an inflationary spiral related to the fiat money that they introduced. And it's when you read that book, written over 100 years ago about something that happened 200 years ago, is like deja vu all over again. Fiat Money, Inflation in France, one of the most important books you'll ever read. Inexpensive, but very accurate, so you can anticipate what lies ahead. And then, of course, we have two pamphlets. One is called The History of Money. The other is called The Financial Meltdown. They're all compilations of our newsletters, so The History of Money and then The Financial Meltdown. Inexpensive, I think they're $3.95 each plus shipping. Important information you need to have for times like this. But then, of course, you can't understand any of this unless you understand the spiritual forces that are at work behind the scenes, the agents of wisdom, the Elder Brothers, the Great White Brotherhood. And you say, what's he talking about? Well, I'm talking about what the people on the other side are talking about. They claim that there's a group that rules the world. And you can read their writings if you'd like, of course, and you get any of our other items. Just ask for a free copy of The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy, that, and of course, it's the group that rules the world. And these are spiritual forces and spiritual beings. And, of course, there's supernatural control over people's lives. This was originally channeled to Alice Bailey in the back, 50 or more years ago. It's important you understand what these people are saying, what they're writing, because, of course, they tell you exactly what's going on today. Alice Bailey had a demonic spirit who channeled ideas to her named Joao Cool. And this is what Joao Cool explained to her about who really runs the world and runs the finances of the world. So I remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We cover a great deal of this in our talk on the planned police state. That's a DVD, and of course there's a syllabus that goes with it, so it's very important. Because of course we go into the background of this move towards a dictatorship, but then at the end we tell you about the spiritual forces that are out there. Not imaginary, not real. Demonstrated by the pyramid, capped by the all-seeing eye on the back of your dollar bill. What's that doing there? Is it a Masonic sign? Is it the sign of the Illuminati? No. It's been around for 5,000 years. It is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. You'll see it on the Supreme Court building over in Israel, as Barry Shamus has said. You find that pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye all over Israel, which suggests to me what I've always believed, and that is that Lucifer wanted to get as many Jews into Israel as he could so he could destroy them all. But I think God has a plan. And that is our hope. That is our promise. And certainly between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step...